I have been reflecting about gifts that I've received in my life. This, to me, has been a tremendous Christmas season because I think I am able to feel more appreciation for all of the gifts of God than what I ever have. I appreciate and love my wife, my son, both of them, my grandson, two lovely daughters-in-law. I've been blessed. I've been blessed so very richly. I can go back in my mind and remember when I was a boy, bow and arrow, air rifle, the classic gifts, ball gloves, basketballs, ice skates. There's a theme. But the greatest gift I ever received is the gift of God's own Son. Salvation is God's greatest gift. And I wrote just a simple statement. I thought at first it might be the entire message. It's not. But I thought it might be. Salvation is a gift of infinite value that cannot be purchased or earned, but must simply be received through faith. For many, most, possibly all of you, you get that, you understand that. But when I was a young man, I did not understand that. That for me was life-changing truth when I was 19 years of age. Because before that time in my life, it was always a matter of doing and trying and doing and trying. That's why I get troubled sometimes when I talk to people about their walk with God and I hear, I'm trying. You have to be very, very careful if you find yourself saying those words, I'm trying. Because the issue isn't whether you're trying. The issue is whether you are receiving what God has given as a free gift of infinite value. Whatever you might do for Him in the way of obedience or service has a finite, limited value. You could never buy something of infinite value with that. And so I want you to bear in mind this gift of God as our ushers come today and help serve the communion. We have another gift. How many of you know Luke Reed? Luke is now a senior in his ministerial studies. And so I have asked him to assist, along with Pastor Mitch today, in the distribution. Heavenly Father, I pray for these elements just now, that they would be hallowed and consecrated by you, that these things would become for us something of spiritual power and something that is real and tangible in our lives. I would ask that you would just take the bread and that you would bless it, that you would take the juice and that you would bless it, and that you would make it as we receive it into ourselves, that you would make it the very essence for us of what it is to receive the gift of God and impress upon us the gratitude that we ought to feel for that great gift in your name. Amen.
On the night he was to be betrayed, as our Lord was reclining at the table with his disciples, he took the bread, he blessed it, gave thanks for it, broke it, and dispersed it amongst his disciples. And he said, "Take and eat. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, he took the cup. He gave thanks for it and said, "This is my blood, which is spilt for you. It is a new covenant. Take and drink."
One thing that I no longer take for granted in my life is simply speech. The ability of saying what you mean, the ability of actually having it heard. A few months ago, I had to labor so hard to form words, and then I had to labor so hard to get them out, and I might have a hard time ordering them now, on occasion, as anyone does, but I can talk pretty loud now when I need to, and so I praise God for that. I think that the beginning for me of really proclaiming my faith was the realization that salvation was the gift of God. I grew up in a home where work ethic was really very strongly taught and promoted. I grew up in a home where I suppose the teaching was that you should never allow someone to give more to you than you could give to them. And so for whatever reason, I had a hard time getting my mind around it. I mentioned I tried. I failed. I despaired. And then one night, early morning actually, the lights came on, and I understood that it was a gift of God. And I drove people nuts. I had that experience in a way that was so vivid and so profound that I suppose I thought no one else ever understood what I now understood. I went all over the place talking to people and saying, no, you don't understand. It's a gift. It's a gift. People who'd been praying for me and what then was my home church back up in Michigan. I was in college in Indiana. They'd been praying for me in the Wednesday night prayer meeting and Bible study, a group of senior saints. I needed it desperately, and so I showed up for Christmas break. And I met with the men. I thanked them for their prayers, and then I explained to them that salvation was the gift of God. They looked at each other like, "Yeah." And my feeling was, "You still don't get it. You don't get it. I remember so much and so well talking with them and saying, "No, I'm not sure you totally comprehend it. Well, we do. I said, no, you'd be more excited about it if you did. And I've never lost all of that excitement. But I want to share with you a few thoughts as we close today about gifts. Romans 6, verse 22 and 23. But now that you have been set free from sin and have become slaves of God, the benefit you reap leads to holiness, and the result is eternal life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. Linda and I have exchanged our gifts. It did not take long. This afternoon, again, our son and daughter-in-law come, and our grandson, and it will take a while. We're at that point in our lives where it truly is more blessed to give than it is to receive. But as I was reflecting about those gifts under the tree, these thoughts came. This gift of God, salvation, like gifts under the tree, must be open before you truly know what it is. I heard a lot about salvation when I was a boy, but I didn't get it. I never understood it until I received it. And some people go through life wondering if they will choose to receive the gift of God with the thought, I won't believe in God until I can understand him. And if that's you, I have this question for you. When will that be? When will the created be able to comprehend and understand the Creator? If the limit of your faith remains the limit of your understanding, you will never have faith because you will never be able to comprehend God. You won't be able to comprehend how big he is, how powerful he is, how loving he is, how merciful he is, how very giving he is. You can't understand God. How many of you ever saw that movie, A Few Good Men? You can't handle the truth. I think that's God's perhaps divine frustration at times about all of us. He may feel that sometimes we simply can't handle the truth. I couldn't comprehend the gift of God. But when I understood it was a gift, I understood this. I'm going to receive it. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know what the future holds. But if God has this for me, I will take it. I've gotten past the point in life where I find myself wondering if I ought to receive a gift. I went through that process for years and years. It might seem strange to you, but I would wonder, well, should I receive this or not? Oh, boy, that might be too much. Oh, no, they're going to have expectations that might come when I receive that gift. Should I or should I not? Now it's thank you very much. Thank you very much. This gift of God must be used to be of any value to you. I've received gifts that were nice. Some were even, I guess, would be signs of luxury. And they sit collecting dust. They go unused. I've had sweaters in the past that remained unworn. tools that weren't used, if they ever were, it was only after years had gone by. But many people attempt to receive the gift of God of salvation, and then they don't use it in their daily life. Because God's gift of salvation is not just deliverance from divine punishment, it's power and enablement to live day by day. And God wants us to have grace. He wants us to have his strength. He wants to make our way clear, but not by removing all obstacles, but by giving us all strength. You must use it. This gift isn't a trendy gift whose novelty soon fades, but is a gift whose value will continually increase over time. Linda and I are old enough to remember Tickle Me Elmo. My niece wanted to receive a Tickle Me Elmo, and my brother-in-law, who at that time was quite wealthy, and I want to emphasize that, at that time was quite wealthy, made it his mission in life to get his little red-headed girl Tickle Me Elmo. He paid, drum roll please, $1,000. He's nuts. Yeah. Yes. Oh my goodness. And I suppose it was used once or twice. But how many times can you tickle Elmo and hear him laugh? My whole generation has gone through its collective life moving from one thing to another. We had hula hoops. We had penny loafers. We had long hair. We went through many our drug phase when we acted as if that was the key to enlightenment. Many went through their Eastern religion phase. We passed through one phase after another. Passed through the hippie phase where we did not care about material things, and then passed through the yuppie phase where all that mattered were material things. One thing after another after another. But this gift of God, its value continues to increase in my life. And if you have truly opened it, it will in yours. Heaven is heaven, I suppose. I get all of heaven. You get all of heaven. But in this world, the value of my salvation is greatly increased because God gives me wisdom and insight and love and joy and peace and all of these blessings of the Spirit that I never understood that you could have. This gift may require some assembly. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, but it's a gift. It's the same for everyone. No, it's different for everyone. My salvation isn't exactly the same as yours. You might say, Pastor, I can't comprehend that. Well, let me put it to you this way. The Bible says that each of us must work out our salvation with fear and trembling. My salvation, in a sense, is from different things than yours might be. Your salvation and your deliverance may be from dark things, wicked things, evil things, painful things. Mine may be also, but they may be different things. And your salvation, for most of you, it didn't include, come with the calling of God to be a pastor. Mine did. But yours came with the unique calling of God in your life that I don't have. And so you must work it out and find a way of assembling it. And to do that, by the way, men, this is especially true for you. You've got to open up your Bible. Because when it comes to assembling things, we men are stubborn. We open the box, and it's a challenge. I'm going to figure this out myself. And after a while, you find there's some extra parts. Probably not necessary. Man, that's a lot of us when it comes to the Christian walk. There are some extra parts mentioned in the Bible, but they're probably not necessary. Yes, they are. Because when it comes to a gift that you would assemble physically, some engineer worked the whole thing out. He put into that box every part, and then they sent it along, this is how it works, to a low-paid new employee and asked him to write the instruction manual. I have it on good authority that that's the way it works. In our case, Jesus is the Word of God. The Word of God spoken through his prophets. God is good. And this gift is truly an extravagant gift. And proper appreciation for it is a must. I've looked at gifts before and thought, no, they shouldn't have. I've looked at gifts and been deeply humbled. Because I realized that someone had given out of their own need something that for me I could appreciate and was a desire, but represented real, true sacrifice for them. But this gift of God, what did it cost God? And he has loved you more than you will ever know. You will never understand it. You will never comprehend it. And you would never be able to repay it. But you can appreciate it. Thank you, God, for what you've done. This gift of salvation has been placed beneath the tree of your life. Have you received it and opened it? That was the truth that was getting to me when I came to Christ. The recognition that the gift had always been there and that I had simply never picked it up, received it, opened it, and taken it to myself. I still had a need of doing those things. I recognized I could have died with my gift unopened underneath the Christmas tree, and I wouldn't want any one of you to go through life with a deep sense of need when what would meet that need is available to you. And with a deep debt before God, when what would pay that debt is sitting right there. Heavenly Father, What a wonderful thing it would be if someone on this Christmas day would truly come to understand the gift of God, would receive it in faith and with humility, and would allow it to begin to transform their life. What you did for me, you stand ready to do for anyone. And Lord, I pray that no one would assume that they have the gift simply because they're in the right church or related to the right people. I was in the right church. I had the right pastor. I was related to all the right people. And I'd received all of the right treatment and all of the right teaching, and I didn't get it. And so, Lord, if there's someone like that here, I pray that you would open up their spiritual eyes and allow them to comprehend what it is that you have for them. And I pray that just as I finally reached out in faith and simply received and thought within my own spirit, it cannot be that simple, that they would understand, yes, it is. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your indescribable gift. Thank you for your grace and for your love. If there are any of you that want to talk about this after the service, I'll be here for a bit. There are other people who'd be able to talk with you about that. And I just want to leave you with this. Just quit your crying and let God do. Quit your effort. Let God do. Thank you, Lord, for all you have done. Bless this day. In Jesus' name, amen.